You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Dane, it's good to have you again, bud.
Thank you, John.
We'll make it a good one, per usual.
I certainly hope so.
I don't even know if people listen to us. That's the thing.
I have less idea of that than you do, so.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I'm your host, John Jameson, and it's been my attitude has been equal with the dark skies that I've been seeing the last couple of days here in our glorious state of Wisconsin. And it's you don't hear me like this often, but that was a rough loss on Sunday night, and it shook me to the core. And we're talking about it tonight. We're talking about a few other things. We're going to hand out a little bit of PTTF awards here. Going to talk about most valuable player through the first half of the season and also get a little bit negative and talk about the least valuable player. So everything and all that on tonight's episode of Pack to the Future. Joining me tonight is Brian Fonfara and writer Thane again, back-to-back weeks. The dude's putting in the work. What's up, dudes?
What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, you, dude. I mean, we're gonna turn it up a little bit because I just every time you guys come in, I feel is like it gives me that little bit of energy, and it's gonna be fun tonight. I'll tell you, I promise you that much.
We'll try.
Thane, how you doing? How you doing this week, brother?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. Took off yesterday from work, so don't ask me how work was again. But I went hunting. I didn't see anything.
Okay.
And then this morning I had class and a dentist appointment. But more importantly, I had a job interview with a company in Appleton. And why I chose to say this was, it was a phone interview. And this woman that was interviewing me sounded like the female version of John Jameson, and it was really throwing me off. I won't lie. She even had the laugh and everything. I'm so glad it was a phone interview because there was a couple times where I couldn't help but smile a little bit, you know? And thankfully enough, I was offered the job, but yeah.
Dude, that's so sick.
Female John Jameson.
Yeah, buddy. There,
I mean, I'm happy to know that my laugh exists in more than one place. And if I have to drive up to Appleton to hear it, then so be it. But dude, you're literally going to be 30 minutes away from the Holy Mecca.
I mean, if I take the job, yes. But
well, I mean,
it's a traveling position, so it'd be away for a while, but yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you move up in the company, they give you season tickets in a suite, and you're good. You're good, dude. I love it. Well,
everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Congrats on meeting the female version of me, and congrats on getting accepted or getting offered a job. And I mean, just keep us posted, brother. Yeah. Glad to have you once again, Brian Fonfara.
Yo.
You know, fun fact about Brian and I is that we have known each other for a very, very long time. Do tell, Brian.
I've known you since almost as long as I can remember. Probably like 5 or 6 when we met.
I would go as low as 3 to 4 years.
Three
old.
To four. That's quite possible.
My mom cut your mom's hair.
Still does, I believe.
And we literally rocked the absolute crap out of the bunk bed that was in my room.
Yep.
And it was, yeah, that's what I remember. So literally 3 to 4 years old. I don't know what it was, but that's how long I've known you. And
yep. hanging out in your basement with you and your brothers is my Vietnam. For sure.
Yes.
Nothing good ever comes from going to John Jameson's basement.
What? What? You're crazy. Well, what's worse, the basement or the cottage? You tell me.
I haven't been to the cottage.
Oh, but you're also one of those people that I feel like refuses to come.
At this point, it's self-preservation, for sure.
Was it from the trauma of the basement?
Probably has more than nothing to do with it, yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, okay. Either way, brother, it's always great to hear your voice. Yeah. And let's do this. You were off last week, so I'm expecting you to be nice, hot, and fresh for a beautiful description of some amazing beef jerky.
Yeah, man. Sioux City jerky. The greatest jerky that's ever been made in the history of time. I'm pretty sure on that.
Yes.
Do I need to say anything more? I guess I can. www.siouxcityjerky.com. Seriously, really delicious jerky. I ate all of the stuff that I ordered within like 4 days. I only shared like 3 bites with different people, and even that was reluctant because it was super freaking delicious. These people are so awesome that they made their own flavor for us. Tundra teriyaki. It's really, really good. Oh my goodness. All of it is really. My favorite was mucho carne asada. Got a little bit of a spice, a little bit of a kick to it. It's delicious. So please check it out. There is the link in the description below. Made in the USA. They're charitable. I've talked about them giving a portion of every sale to the Children's Miracle Network. Dude, the people are awesome. The jerky is awesome. It's affordable. The holidays are coming up. I know it's early November, but stocking stuffers, people. Perfect. Sioux City Jerky. Do it. SiouxCityJerky.com.
Brian, just keep the microphone in your hand.
Oh, it's all mine. That's right. It's all mine because I am hosting the coin toss. You guys are spared my hot takes for a second week in a row, actually. But we had to get John active, and Thane didn't come here to host. He came here to share his intellect, as John would say. All right, gentlemen, coin tosses. Two disappointing losses in a row. I mean, against good teams, so you can't go saying we should have gone 2-0 in that stretch or anything, whatever. But the Packers sit 3-4-1 halfway through the season, as most of us predicted, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I had us. So, yeah, we want to know if this season is over, guys. If it's over, you kind of get to define what you think over means, but give it your best shot. So, Thane, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, you're going to say no, it's not over. If it's tails, you're going to say yes, it's over. And it's heads, Thane. No, it's not over.
I think that there's a lot of examples that I could point to in history, recent history, actually, that points to this season not being over. I'll start with 2010, coming off of two really bad losses. And I believe they were both in overtime. One of them was actually to the Dolphins. Green Bay was able to rally and win several games towards the end of the season down the stretch and eventually go from a 6-seed wild card to a Super Bowl champion. Now, I'm not saying that that'll happen, but it could. And furthermore on that, you look at like seasons like 2013 where Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. They're able, it looked bleak, but they're able to come back. They're able to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then you look at 2016, 4-6 team had just lost four games in a row to teams much worse than the Rams and the Patriots. And they were able to run the table and go to the NFC North or the NFC championship game, excuse me. So really there's just a ton of instances in the past where they've been able underneath Rodgers to will themselves back into the playoffs. And to me, the season being over is not being able to make the playoffs anymore, which I think it's definitely on the table. One thing they are going to have to do is they're going to have to win probably three of their next four. They play the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Vikings, and the Cardinals. The Vikings and the Seahawks are on the road, so those will be tough games. But really, they played with the Rams all the way to the end, and that's a game they really should have won. And same thing with the New England Patriots as well. They played with them to the end. The fumble happened just like the game before, and it completely swayed the game. So really, they were close games, and they're both on the road. So I think when you play less talented teams, like the next four you have coming up, not that the Vikings and the Seahawks are huge slouches or anything, but I think they're kind of a tier below those two we just faced. So really, I think if they could figure it out a little bit more, continue to play pretty good football on defense, I think that really they could just start to click on offense, and really that Marquez Valdes-Scantling's been playing really well. Aaron Jones has been playing really well, and so has Davante Adams. So it's going to take a lot, but they could definitely make the playoffs, and I think they have the talent to make a run, but they just need to click. They just need to flip the switch somehow, like they did in 2016 and like they did in 2010.
John, it's over.
So it's not because I've been acting as if the season was over the last couple days that I'm talking about this right now. It's not very often where I get to actually defend the side of the coin that I feel, I guess. And, pretty much what's going on is I've gotten into this mindset that if the Packers don't win a Super Bowl, the season's it's just not even a thing to me anymore. And so this year it's happened before. The Packers will lose in a playoff game and not make it to the Super Bowl, and that's where my mindset's been at, is like the Packers aren't winning the Super Bowl this year, and I would say more likely than not the Packers aren't going to make the playoffs. And it has everything to do with the schedule coming up. It has everything to do with how the players are, they're making timely mistakes, and some of them are making just boneheaded errors, and the coaching's not there right now. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, this team is going to be facing such an uphill battle just to even make the playoffs. And I mean, you have teams like the Vikings who look like they might be catching a second wind after what would most of us would probably call a surprising start from them this season. It looks like they're finally finding their game a little bit. And then the Bears, I mean, that defense is insane. And you have to play both those teams on the road, not to mention the Seahawks that have somehow found a way to start winning games again, which we all thought that they'd be a doom and gloom type scenario. But playing in Seattle this year is going to be extremely difficult. And it's just things like this keep piling up against the Packers. And I love that they brought the fact that that we've done this before. Like, we've been in this situation and we've seen what happens, like, when this team catches that fire and just goes. But I think with just the situation happening right now with our head coach, with Aaron Rodgers not looking like the MVP that we know he is, that loss on Sunday kind of signified, you know, the end of the season, and that's how I feel.
Fair enough. Man, it's tough. I'm going to give it to Thane mostly because of the side of the coin he got, and I've been feeling negative enough, and I'm just going to give the win to the positive response. Like, seriously, like, I'm somewhere in the middle here. Like, no, I don't think the Packers are going to go win a Super Bowl this year, so it's like, kind of, what's the point? But, you know, they still have that shot at the playoffs, and, you know, like, any team that makes it to the playoffs does have a chance. I mean, the Jaguars got to the AFC Championship game last year. That should tell you quite a bit. So, I'll just go for the positivity.
I mean, my benefit on that coin toss was the fact that I just got to literally speak from the heart and get it off my chest.
Yeah.
And now I feel so much better.
Well, I'm glad you feel better because you get to, or you now you have to go negative again here, John, just okay. So you know. All right. So here's the awards that John alluded to. We're going to go, the negative one first. We're going to go biggest disappointment of this season. players, coaches, front office, anybody is included in this. So I'm going to flip this coin. And if it's heads, it's going to be John going first. If it's tails, it'll be Thane going first. And you get to pick anybody on this team to call your biggest disappointment. So here we go. It is heads. John, you get to go first. Biggest disappointment.
I mean, the biggest disappointment is by far the head coach. He has let this team get to this point. He has literally he's so stuck in his ways that he can't even formulate a game plan while the game's in motion, because he thinks that what he has down is just like is going to win this game. Mm-hmm. And he's a coach that is, we thought Capers was like a guy that refused to make, you know, in-game adjustments. And from what I'm seeing, McCarthy's the same way. McCarthy's offense has become stale, and it's finally showing this season. And to think that he just brought in, you know, a guy that worked, that they clicked very well in creating an offense that was so successful in Green Bay for a while, and he still can't find any creativity to kind of bring to the table this year and take this offense to the next level. And that's what I was expecting this year. And he didn't deliver. And for that, he has become my biggest disappointment.
All right, Thane, biggest disappointment.
I'm not going to lie. McCarthy was definitely in my top two, but he's not my number one. Reason being, I do think that part of what John alluded to is complete lack of execution by this team, which I guess you can kind of attribute back to McCarthy, but there's just a really bad lack of execution. I think they can run the offense far better if they just executed it well. You know, there's, I don't know. Anyway, so back to my point. So the player who disappointed me the most this year is Jimmy Graham, and I think it's hands down Jimmy Graham. It's always been Jimmy Graham. just awful at blocking, like on tape, just god awful. But what you expected coming in, but like, man, just terrible. Anyway, so just disappears for stretches of time. Like, if, and that's kind of been like his knock throughout his career. Like, if his team goes down, he just disappears for an entire game. And it's true. Like, where was he last game? I didn't see much of him the last two games, really. Like, he doesn't show up. He showed up in a couple games, but he's not the $10 million a year tight end that we signed. He's not the field stretcher we signed. He's not a blocker at all. I just think that he's really been, you know, not worth the money, and that's really all I can say about him.
All right. I'm going to go John on this one because I disagree with you, Thane. I think we knew what we were getting with Jimmy Graham, and I think both Rodgers and McCarthy are guilty of underusing and improperly using him. And yes, he does disappear, but I think that's also partially game plan. You saw him come up with a few big catches the other night, including a touchdown. So I don't know. I think he's been better than given credit for. Mike McCarthy has been just awful.
I would say that Thane's definitely, I think between the two of us, we have come to the two main options here for this.
I would say so as well.
With McCarthy and Jimmy Graham. Yeah. Because Jimmy Graham has, you know, you could say, we can talk about schemes and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, like, I mean, Jimmy Graham hasn't been good in a very long time. And
they're paying him to be such a better player.
But that's exactly what it is. But we have one more coin toss to get to.
We do. And this one's positive, guys. We're halfway through the season, okay. So we're talking team MVP here. So we're going to go positive here. All right. I'm going to flip this coin again. It's going to work the same way. If it's heads, John gets to go first. If it's tails, Thane gets to go first. And you get to pick your team MVP for this year. Once again, executives, coaches, players, ball boys, referees, whoever you want, is on the table here. So it's heads again. John, you get to go first again.
My goodness.
Take advantage, gracious. Buddy.
I mean, this is like, this has so far been the most freeing coin toss segment I've ever been a part of in my life. Like,
Thane wins this one. Moving on.
Stress level is at an all-time minimum. But, yeah, I mean, this is tough for me because I'm so high on a lot of players right now, a lot of young players. But, I mean, I am going to go with a player. And I have to. It's my civic duty to name this gentleman first.
All right, let's hear it.
And it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And because I feel like anytime I have an opportunity to literally just gush and love on Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to take it. And this is what I got to say. The dude jacked up his knee so bad in the first week of the season. He comes back into the game. And I'm banking a lot on week one here because this is, albeit he's gone through frustrations, you know, call it what you will. He's missed a lot of throws so far this year, but I want to say that some of that was due to the injury. Other than that, he's getting a little frustrated. But who's not getting frustrated in Green Bay right now? And this guy every single week gives you that opportunity to win a game. And what I saw him do in Chicago this year, I'm never going to forget that moment. And he's given that to me in the first half of the season. And he's also had many, many, many more incredible moments to put on that I don't want to take too much time up sharing. But the guy is always, always going to be MVP. And I love him for that. I love Aaron Rodgers. And he is my forever MVP.
Thane.
Well, it is hard for me to argue with Aaron Rodgers being John's forever MVP. I will say. First, I'd like to point out the fact that I think if Kenny Clark played at a more like vital position, I'll say, like more of a playmaking position, I think he would probably be my answer to this question.
That's a good one.
That's fair.
But he's a defensive tackle, so I think he's playing outstanding football. Mm-hmm. Just had to get that in there. But I'm going to go with Davante Adams instead. Davante Adams has taken this number one receiving role by the reins, and he's really played outstanding. He's on pace for a season that looks like 1,500-plus yards, 16 touchdowns, I think is what he's on pace for, which is probably the best season we've seen from a Packers wide receiver since probably Jordy Nelson had a big year a while back, and then we also have Greg Jennings had a really big year, I remember, as well. But just in general, with Cobb and Allison being out and hurt as much as they've been, and the inexperience of Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, who have been pretty good, I think that he's just been a really good mentor to them and a guy who gets open on a consistent basis, and that clearly defenses have to scheme against on a regular basis to take away, so that Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jimmy Graham, Aaron Jones, all those guys can get their touches. So that's where I'll go with that.
Well, first of all, you guys both lose a point because neither of you named Kyler Fackrell.
And because you were the judge, I thought about it. And I bailed on the last minute.
So you get half a point for thinking about it.
Yes.
So it's
did I win?
Did I win? It's 1/2 to 0 going into the final coin toss here.
See, I thought about Jake Kumerow, so I think that gets me at least 2 points.
I think that gets you -2 points.
Yes, he's not.
But I'm actually going to give this last one to Thane, actually. I agree with Davante Adams a lot more than
Where
I do Aaron
Rodgers. Where's this half point coming in, huh?
So you lose 1 to 1/2. Because I deducted you each a point for not saying Fackrell. And then you get a half a point for thinking about him. Thane gets a full point for winning that point. So this is the first time a coin toss has ever ended 1 to 1/2. But here we are. We've done it, guys.
It wasn't a blowout, so I'll take that.
History made.
I would say more times than not, I'm walking out of a coin toss going, well, I didn't really understand why I lost, but I do understand this time.
I made it perfectly clear.
Yeah, you actually did a very good job of explaining why I lost, and yeah. I appreciate that.
I'm really good at explaining how you're not good enough. That's something I've always been good at.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for what I think I am mediocre at and not bad at, is interviewing a guest talking about the Miami Dolphins this week. Take a listen for your health.
All right, guys, I am here with Aaron Sutton of the FinCider, the SB Nation blog. Aaron, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Let's talk some Packers Dolphins, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it. I was actually in the stands in Lambeau. Last time we visited there, we had the Chad Henne-led Dolphins somehow snuck out of there with a victory the same year you guys won a Super Bowl. So I can't say the same thing will happen this Sunday, but you know, that's why they play the game, right?
That's why they play the games. It's true. I mean, it was a crazy finish 4 years ago, too, with Aaron Rodgers faking the spike and getting the ball over to Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game wasn't looking pretty.
Yeah, I both hated Aaron Rodgers and loved him at the same time that he had the balls to do that in Miami. So, good for him.
Cool, cool. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, we already mentioned a couple. So I'm really intrigued by the quarterback situation in Miami this year. Brock Osweiler kind of taking over, which is something I thought he'd never do again. Has he been good? Is it more of a case of Tannehill is just that bad, or maybe Adam Gase just dislikes Tannehill that much? What's going on there?
Yeah, we're still kind of seeing how all this is going to play out. Now, like you said, I didn't expect Brock Osweiler to be – I wasn't even sure he would make the roster, let alone be the backup quarterback and be playing significant snaps for my football team this year. So just that in itself just is kind of crazy. But what you usually see in the league is teams will rally around the backup quarterback for a game or two. And then what I think you're seeing now is just kind of the regression to the mean on the offense. And we looked really bad against the Jets. And I can't put it all on Brock. I mean, he certainly missed some deep throws, and that limits the playbook for us, not being able to push the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. But he is better than Tannehill, in my opinion. Stuff around the line of scrimmage, making those pre-snap reads and making the offensive line protection shifts and getting everybody in a spot to succeed for a play. So at least he has the command over the offense. He just doesn't quite have the arm talent that Tannehill has. Now, we just had Dr. David Chow on our show, on the FinCider radio show, a couple of days ago, and he's kind of leaning towards Ryan Tannehill might be done for the year based on what he's heard and based on some of his reactions. So we might be looking at Brock Osweiler being the starting quarterback for the rest of 2018 for Miami.
All right. So Miami's sitting at 5-4 right now. It looks like they're half a game out of a playoff spot. Are you thinking playoffs at this point? Does that go out the drain not having Tannehill, or you know, where are you at in that regard?
Well, me personally, I'm in the spot where I think we're going to be suffering in purgatory no matter what. And by purgatory, I mean those ball clubs that finish 7-9, 8-8, or 9-7, good enough to kind of tease fans that they might make the playoffs but don't, but then are poor enough at draft position-wise to miss out on some of the blue chippers. And I know there's exceptions to the rule, but overwhelmingly, if you want a good player, you want to have a higher draft pick. So I was kind of in the at the 4-4 stage. I was kind of in the let's sell and let's go ahead and look to the future. I think we have a bright young nucleus to build around, and I think there's some good pieces there. We're very decimated by injuries all across the board, you know, in the trenches, especially the offensive line is a hot mess right now, especially in the interior, which, you know, the news of Mike Daniels having a little hiccup at practice today. I don't know if he'll be able to play on Sunday or not, but that would be I hate to, you know, harp on an injury here, but it would be a blessing for Miami to not have him wreck havoc on us on Sunday.
Yes, it will.
but Yeah, I mean, because that's kind of where I'm concerned with that Packers defensive line. But yeah.
All right. So what are the Dolphins good at? Something's got them having won five games. They have a better record than the Packers. What should the Packers be losing sleep over this week?
What we're good at is we've won a couple of games this year, the Jets being one, the Titans week one, where if you turn the ball over, we've been pretty good at capitalizing so far. And if you guys come in a little sloppy or even just a lucky strip sack or we're able to get pressure on Rodgers and be able to force a couple of turnovers. And I know some of those big games y'all were in, you had some key turnovers at the end of the game. So I know that's probably leaving a bitter taste in your mouth. So I would imagine that your ball club is going to really be preaching the ball security and stuff like that. But if we happen to be lucky enough to get a couple of turnovers, I think that's the way we flip this game. But I've been mentioning on our podcast that the one problem that Miami has is that we don't have an identity. We don't really have anything to kind of hang our hat on at the end of the day. We're not overwhelmingly powerful in the running game. We don't make a ton of plays in the passing game. On defense, we've had games where we've been really good against the run, and we've had games where we've been absolutely atrocious. And the same thing can be said about the pass secondary. So it's just one of those ball clubs where we can't get all three units to work together. We're not having interdependent football. We don't have a game where the offense and the defense and special teams are all playing well. It's usually just one or the other, or sometimes nothing at all.
All right, fair enough. Before we sign off, I'd like to get your thoughts on how you think this game will go on Sunday afternoon, and if you could throw a final score prediction at us, that'd be awesome.
Sure. I don't like – if we're going to stay close in this game, I don't like this shootout story arc for us. I don't think that plays out very well for us. I don't think that plays very favorably, although we have some players that can make some plays, and Jakeem Grant might make some plays on special teams, but I just don't think – we have the same caliber of offense to just keep up with the Green Bay offense. So I think we're going to have to lean towards a ground control game, keep Aaron Rodgers and that offense on the sidelines and get the time of possession. You know, don't beat yourself, no stupid penalties and stuff like that. So if we're able to do that and keep it close, I'm going to say 24-20 Green Bay. That's going to be my final score prediction.
I always, always love it when the guests predict a Packers win.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to see Miami sneaking in there and getting a W. Obviously, I'll be rooting for it, but objectively, it's kind of hard to see that. Just with the close losses that you guys have had, you're coming back for one game and then going back on the road for two more. I think you're just going to try to make a statement on us. So hopefully, we're able to cover that 10-point spread and keep it interesting.
All right, man. You want to take a minute to tell the people at home where they can find your work, what you do over the Finsider, all that good stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I do some film study and do some writing for the Finsider.com, part of the Finsider radio team. So we have a podcast analogous to yourself, and we have a couple of shows per week, and we're part of the SB Nation network. So the Green Bay affiliate would be the Acme Packing Company, or Acme Trading Company, one of those things. Okay, yeah. So we're the equivalent of the Acme Trading Company, and just love to talk football. And guys, hit us up on Twitter anytime, just to BS. Even if you guys crush us on Sunday, we'll still be friendly.
All right, Aaron, I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
Brian, it's time to tell us why the Packers will win and how they'll do it.
All right, man. Keys to victory for this week. First and foremost, of course, guys, you have to stop Brock Osweiler, right? Like,
that's your boy, dude.
That's the hard part. I gave up on him a long, long time ago, man.
Who are you cheering for on Sunday?
Well, like, I'm If Osweiler could throw for like 13 touchdowns, but the Packers win by a point, I think that'd be perfect. That's kind of my world, you know. This podcast is brought to you by Brock Osweiler's estate. Anyways, no, I am kidding. He is not the key to winning this game. I think the keys are, number one, situational play calling. It's been well advertised. It's been talked about a ton that the situational play calling for this team has been abysmal this year, especially in the last few weeks. Third down and two and we're passing, and then third down and five and we're running, third down and four and we run four wide receivers on a vertical routes and just expect Aaron Rodgers to scramble and make a play. Like, we get to the red zone and it's almost a guaranteed 3 points instead of seven. It's just been really freaking frustrating. Every time there's been a big situation, we've come up short. I think we even failed on a fourth down, if I recall correctly, on Sunday night. It's been really bad. And Dusty was on Twitter today, or yesterday, I think it was, saying that he doesn't think the scheme is the problem in Green Bay, but the play calling is, and I almost agree with him. I dislike the scheme more than he does, but you can look at all of those situations and think, what the hell was Mike McCarthy thinking? So situational play calling has to get better. I get the feeling that Rodgers and McCarthy also need to get together and have a little heart-to-heart here. I feel like they're just butting heads at this point. Neither one of them looks happy. They don't look happy with each other. McCarthy's not calling good games. Rodgers isn't executing. Like, they're making each other look bad. I think McCarthy's making Rodgers look a little worse than Rodgers is making McCarthy look, but that's splitting hairs at this point. I feel like they need to get on the same page because I'm not sure they are at this point. So that's my other key. Third, the defense, I think, just needs to keep it up. If the defense had performed and played as well as they did on Sunday night against any team that's not Tom Brady or Drew Brees or someone like that led, like, you're talking about a dominant performance. The defense has been really good this year, which I think is a great testament to the fact that really only one position group on that defense has improved in personnel, that being the cornerback position. But the overall defense has been much better, and especially situationally. You saw that goal line stand, kept Brady out of the end zone from the 1 yard line four times. Like, that's really freaking impressive. You don't see that in the last 5 years with Dom Capers. That would not have happened. So I've been overall impressed. There's clearly still a lot of personnel needs, but Mike Pettine has been doing a fantastic job of scheming and play calling overall. And, yeah, I'm happy with him. So if you play that well, if you call as good of a game, if you're Mike Pettine on Sunday against the Brock Osweiler led Miami Dolphins, you're walking away with a win. There's a big difference between playing Brock Osweiler and Tom Brady, believe it or not. Having said that, I think the Packers will actually win this game. As down as I am about this organization at this moment, I think they'll actually come away with a win here. I don't think the Dolphins will be able to do a whole ton offensively. They're not a terrible defensive team, but I gotta hope that Rodgers and McCarthy will come out pissed off and actually put together a good game here. So I will say the Packers win this one. I'm going to say 30-17. 30-17,
all right, dude.
Packers win.
All right, dude. Let's go. I'd love to see that after what we've endured as Packer fans.
We deserve it. We deserve a win.
I know you got some numbers deep down inside you. Release them, please.
Okay. I'm going to start with a very important number, and that's the number 88. And because as we are recording this, it appears that the Saints have signed Dez Bryant.
Oh, man.
To a contract.
Look at that.
According to Ian Rappaport. I mean, he's been wrong before, but look at that. Already one of the best teams in football, who we happen to have their first round pick, and now they have Dez Bryant as well.
Well. Dude, I keep saying this to people, is that I remember in week one, the Buccaneers beat the Saints, and some people are like, don't forget that we got their first round pick. And I'm like... And now look at where their season's at. I'm like, well, we're getting the last pick in the draft.
Well, that was prime Fitzmagic time.
Oh, yeah. Love me some Fitzmagic.
Okay. So anyway, back to the numbers that actually matter. I'd like to start out by saying that the Dolphins are second in the league in interceptions with 15 interceptions on the year, which is pretty remarkable. So that kind of, I guess, really helps them out defensively in the passing game. Their league rank is 22nd, but when you have 15 interceptions to as opposed to 16 touchdowns that you've allowed in the passing game, I think you're doing pretty good. So they're definitely good at taking the ball away. Rushing wise, they're ranked 23rd with the yards per attempt. So that's at 4.6, and they're ranked 16 in yards per game or touchdowns and 28th in yards. So really not an amazing rush defense either, but again, you have those turnovers. So that's great for them. On the flip side, on offense, they're ranked 26th in passing, and they are ranked 21st in rushing. So really not an offense that's going to light you up. I think, obviously, Ryan Tannehill is the better of the two quarterbacks. Brock Osweiler is very likely to start this game, which isn't going to blow anybody's doors down. I think they're really going to need a good boost from the run game in order to get their offense going against this defense. Green Bay's defense, obviously, any Packers fan knows, has given up some chunk plays, things like that in the run game, so they could be susceptible to something like that against a running back like Kenyon Drake. Apart from that, I'm not really the numbers guy that Dusty is, so I think that'll be our numbers for the week.
Let's go, dude. What the main number is, how many points the Packers are going to win by. What is that?
I'm going to say that this is going to be a get-right game, and they're going to win by 14 points, and the score is going to be, let's see here. Can I subtract by 14? I don't know if I can subtract by 14. Guys.
This is our numbers guy for the night. Can't subtract by 14.
Maybe I should just be like, okay, I'll just go 34-20.
Very
34.
I love it. Oh, that's so funny, dude. I love it. You got the pack on top. I love that even more. I'm gonna give you guys a player that needs to step up. That's what I'm gonna do. And that player is going to be Randall Cobb. I don't know if I heard your name this past Sunday, brother. I know you're coming off an injury, but we need you in there. And this is the Randall Cobb that I know, is when the team's down like this, you make the catches. So get it done. I need to see you show up. I think that you will. I think you're going to finish right around 87 yards and a score, which that's going to be a nice showing. But keep it up. Keep going. Keep pushing this young receiving core to the top, the very tippity top, and let's see this wide receiver core develop with your leadership. Let's go. Packers win this game. Call it 32-17. There you go. Final thoughts, Ryan Fonfara.
Well, first of all, we all have remarkably close score predictions here. have to say. And credit to John for predicting that they're going to score 32. I was like going through in my head how they have to do this. I think that'd be a 5 field goal game or something.
I know. Wait, you said what? 31-17?
30-17.
Okay, Thane was 34-20. And
couldn't they do like 6 field goals and 2 touchdowns? I think that would work.
That would work. Something like that.
I mean, I'll take whatever points we're given as long as we're winning this freaking game. All right? That's all I'm going to say about it.
Oh, man. All right. So, first of all, Dusty, we miss you. I know you're at some big work event or something stupid like that, but this podcast is definitely better with Dusty in it than it is without him. So Dusty, hurry back because we're lost and we don't even know how to podcast without you. Having said that, I'm going to take over one of his segments here and go cheapest tickets. And guys, I'm not surprised by this one at all. This team, these two teams that are playing each other are often in this discussion, and it's Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Are we and you in can the 20s? Go
in the 20s. Thane, what's your guess? Cheapest ticket.
$23.
And John, you said in the 20s. Go more specific.
No, I said, I guess I was asking, but I can give you a guess. I'll give you 21.
Oh.
You guys both shot over it, man. $18.
I guess I won.
You both went over, so you both lost.
Went over, so by Price is Right rules, I think we both lost.
No, go Price is Right rules.
We're playing the game show rules where I win.
No,
in that scenario.
So. No, this is my segment. Nope. Always Price is Right rules. $18 for two teams that are fighting really hard to finish last in the AFC South. They are both really giving it their all in that respect. But at least you could go see like Andrew Luck play against a team that just refuses to sign Colin Kaepernick, even though their starting quarterback is just awful. That's got to be an interesting matchup, right? So, yeah, that's taking over for Dusty is all I have for my final thoughts. You can find me at @PTTF_Brian and us at @PTTF_podcast on Twitter.
Love it. Love it. Writer Thane.
Okay. I guess I'd like to start by saying, in terms of thoughts about the Packers, that, wow, is Marquez Valdes-Scantling ever good?
Woo-wee.
I mean, just really taking that spot. And Geronimo Allison did go on IR today, but yes. I don't think it would have mattered. I think if he comes back healthy, I think he kept the position. The guy is exactly what we needed. We needed a deep threat. He is that. He's tall. He's fast. He's fantastic.
Yes.
Got to get that one in there. Had to get that one in there. Another thing I'd like to mention is I'm going to be writing a film study piece this week on situational play calling. So you should check that out. It should be coming out Friday, I would think. But as a gist, I would say that it's going to be a look at how crazy the play calling was on Sunday on third down and fourth down, where there was just guys streaking down the field on third down and short all game long. And nobody running anything intermediate or underneath. And it was just mind-boggling, I guess, I'll say.
Frustrating?
So, yeah, frustrating is another word I would use. I could use a lot of words for that. But, you know, then I'd have to think of them. And that sounds like a lot of work. So,
you can try to keep that article G-rated.
At Track on Pack. And you can follow my Worst Packers Takes account at Worst Pack Takes. And another thing I'd like to elaborate on, I guess, is the bad takes of the week. So here's one that, and I'm going to go into something that I wouldn't post on there because I know that I would never hear the end of it. But what is with all the hate on Brian Bulaga? I mean, granted, the guy's injured a lot, but I'm just seeing people on there like, cut Brian Bulaga. He's terrible. Like, have you ever watched a Giants game before? Like, for real. Like, a Giants game, a Seattle Seahawks game. Like, the offensive tackle position is just awful right now. Like, who do these people think that they're getting? Jason Spriggs? Like, Jason Spriggs is not the savior of the world. Like,
it's getting credit. He was pretty good when he came in on Sunday night, though.
He did not understand that.
He just hasn't shown anything in his career.
He was pretty good on Sunday night. Let's give him credit for that.
I'll give him a little bit of credit there, but and then flashback to like 2 years ago when everybody was like, move Brian Bulaga to guard, even though he looked like a Pro Bowler last season, and put Jason Spriggs at right tackle, even though he didn't even play right tackle for like a portion of a game. Like he's just gonna go in there and be amazing, and we should just move Brian Bulaga away in the guard. Like, that was such a good take too.
Yeah, that almost goes up there with the fire Mike McCarthy and hire John Gruden takes that we heard a few years ago.
Oh god.
Imagine where we'd be as a franchise right now.
Can we just talk?
Wow, Rodgers wouldn't be our quarterback. Let's just start with that.
Just terrible.
They're terrible.
It's a dumpster fire,
dude. That's like, a great question. Is what would the Packers look like if John Gruden had this team?
They'd probably be moving to Las Vegas next year. If we're being honest.
Man, yeah, John Gruden's really got that fan base excited for moving.
Seriously, I really feel bad for the people of Oakland.
Only the toughest of players would stay. So naturally, Jermaine Whitehead would still be on the team.
Sure. Yeah,
because John Gruden would love that little slap that he threw. He'd be like, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough guy right there. I want that guy on my team. Let's start him.
You see what this guy does. All right. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. And I've been doing this thing where I'm talking about all of my Wisconsin sports teams because I love them all. And it's mainly going to be the Bucks, probably for the rest of the season. And they're, again, I love what I'm seeing still. But what blew my mind, and I brought this to Brian's attention a couple nights ago when we were playing Fortnite, is that there's a woman that was doing a game show, a little game show thing that they do in timeouts. And she had to name as many cheeses as she could in 30 seconds. Maybe you guys have heard this before. I know Brian has. But pretty much, she named 27 cheeses in 30 seconds. Just to understand that.
Is she single?
That is a great question, number one. And I mean, and so I needed to wrap my head around this because I couldn't. So I gave Brian the challenge, and he did very well. He finished with 9 cheeses, and I'm like, I don't think that I could have done
pretty good about 9.
7. And yeah, I'm like 27 is just outrageous. So congratulations, whoever you are, because that is unreal. And the last thing I'm going to say, wrapping up my Bucks talk, is we're going into a tough 4-game West Coast road trip right now, and this is going to be trying for this team, but it's going to give us a nice scale as to, you know, how they can compete this year. And one of those games coming up this week, Thursday night, TNT, Bucks and Warriors. Come on, Bucks. Let's go. Get the job done. Show this country what you're made of. So let's get the job done this week. Packers, get the job done this week. And let's all just bless the rest of the weeks here. And we'll talk about everything that happened in the next episode of Pack to the Future.
Yeah.
We are Pack to the Future. Go Pack, go. Peace.